Good afternoon, everybody. This week we spoke a lot in the last couple of days about machlokas and about the negative and adverse effects about machlokas and the terrible nature of communal discord and what that does to all of us. The Acharonim quote a passage from the Sefer Chasidim. Surprisingly, this is quoted in Hilchos Shabbos by the Elya Rabbah and by others, that the Sefer Chasidim writes the following: Lo yomer adam, a person should say, Ekne ma'adane Shabbos, I am going to go ahead and buy the most beautiful delicacies for Shabbos, the most delicious meals, v'yodea, and he knows when doing so, shasofo lariv ulhiskotet im ishto ohorav ola asher imo. Well, I'm going to do the supermarket shopping this Friday. I'm going to go buy myself some herring, some chopped liver. My wife, when I get home, is going to say, what do you mean? It's terrible. How can you buy such things? Look what it's going to do to you. I'm going to say, what do you mean? This covered Shabbos. Of course I want to do it. Says the Sefer Chasidim, absolutely not. Al zeh ne'emar, on this it says, in the Pasuk in Mishlei, Tov Pascha Reva, it's better to have Pascha Reva, which means stale, dried out bread. Vishalva ba, it's better to eat dried out bread with a peaceful environment. Mi bayis male zivchei riv, you can have all the beautiful steaks and all the wonderful barbecues, but it's not worth it if it's going to be filled with machlokas, if the wife is going to be angry about what you're doing. And here the Sefer Chasidim adds, ah, you're wondering about Kavod Shabbos. Ah, you want to buy the beautiful foods. Ah, you want to buy the herring and the kishka and everything else only because Kavod Shabbos. You would never do it for yourself. Says the Sefer Chasidim, no. V'chibadato, what does it mean? V'chibadato me'asos derachecha. Zeu kvodo shel Shabbos, the greatest Kavod Shabbos you could give is shelo yarev bo, that you shouldn't fight on Shabbos. That's the greatest Kavod Shabbos you can have. So that's what the Sefer Chasidim writes. And this is quoted le'alacha and el yarabah. And the Mishnah Berurah writes as well, a person has to be zahir ma'od, a person has to be very careful and conscientious on Shabbos, that they do not fight. They quote from the Tikkuni Zohar, I don't learn Zohar at all, but the Achronim quote this from the Tikkuni Zohar, that he says, this is pshat in the Pasuk, lo suvaru esh b'chomosh vasechem b'yom ha-Shabbos. Simply it means, don't make a fire, don't cook things on Shabbos, but simply that you can take an added level of meaning as well, that lo suvaru esh, don't allow the fire of machlokas, the fire of anger, to be in your house on Shabbos at all. There is a Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Beis that says some very strange story about two people that used to fight every Friday night. Every Shabbos they used to fight. And the Achronim are bothered. What's the story? How come they fought only on Shabbos? The Gemara then says one of the Tanoim went to their house to try to work out the disagreement. Every Shabbos the Tani used to go and work out the fight. How come they were only fighting on Shabbos? What about during the week? So there are many suggestions that are given, but one suggestion that's given to this Gemara is perhaps the reason that we all know and are very familiar with. Well, during the week we're all busy and we're running around and we're doing whatever we have to do. And unfortunately, or fortunately, on Shabbos, everybody has vacation. Everybody takes a little bit of respite and everybody has a little bit too much spare time on their hands. And we all know what happens. You ever have all your kids in the car and you go on a vacation and the whole family's together? That's when the fights break out. Why? Because nobody's busy doing anything. And that's when you have too much time on your hands. That's unfortunately when the fights break out. And therefore, that's why the Gemara tells us the story that there happened to be two individuals who used to fight only on Shabbos. Not because they didn't hate each other during the week, but because Shabbos is the time when we have so much time. And therefore, it's a time to be extra careful and extra thoughtful about the fact that machlokas is very prone to break out in situations like that, and one should be overly careful and sensitive on Shabbos itself. We do have a pasuk in this week's parsha which teaches us Lo yiyeh ke Korach va'adaso. Korach breaks out into machlokas with Moshe Rabbeinu. And from here we learn, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuf Yud, Amar Rav kol ha-machzik be-machlokas. Anyone who helps out, anyone who helps to buttress, to bolster a machlokas and reinforce it, over belav, you are violating an actual law in the Torah. Like, don't eat chazer, don't go ahead and be mechal Shabbos, so too, don't make a machlokas. Lo yiyeh ke Korach va'adaso. This is what we learn from the Pasuk in our Parsha. And the Rambam and the Ramban have a disagreement whether or not this is just an asmachta ba'alma. Does this really mean to say it's a real love, or does it just mean to say it's a nice idea that we learn from Korach? And here in our Parsha, the Pasuk is just simply stating the story that took place, but it's not really halacha lemaisa proper from the Pasuk itself. That's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ramban, in the Sefer HaMitzvos in the Shirashim. However, the Divrei Malkiel and other Achronim do learn something fascinating from our Pasuk. They say that here we have, the Pasuk tells us, Lo yiyeh ke Korach va'adaso, and the Gemara says, Kol ha-machzik b'machlokas, anyone who strengthens, who bolsters a machlokas and helps it out, fuels the flame, so to speak, you are going to violate the law. So he says, why does the Pasuk say, the Divrei Malkiel writes, why does the Pasuk say, Lo yiyeh ke Korach v'cha'adaso? Who picked the fight here? The one who picked the fight was Korach. So why does the Pasuk go out of its way to say, Lo yiyeh ke Korach v'cha'adaso? Don't be like Korach, and also don't be like the Adas Korach either. So he says the reason why is because even if you might not be the one who's picking the fight, but if you're just the adasso, you're the one who's fueling the flame, you're the one who's going along with it and reinforcing the fact that the machlokas is ongoing, that's also the same as being like Korach himself. And that's why the pasuk tells us, not only should he not be like Korach who picks the fight originally, but don't be like adasso either. And here he writes something striking. V'hainu mishum, and this is because shim lo yiyya machzikim miyado. If somebody has a fight with somebody else, but there's nobody supporting your side, you're sitting screaming off the rooftops and the other one babbled you and somebody did something terrible to you, but nobody's helping you, nobody's supporting your cause, memela tibatel machlokas, it's going to die down. Ki bala machlokas la yachal levado below ozrim. It's impossible to pick a fight without somebody helping you out to continue it. So therefore, that's why Korach va'adaso are a very critical part of the whole machlokas that Korach made as well. And that's what the pasuk means to mention here, that lo yiyah kekorach va'adaso, not only are you at fault if you're the one who starts it, but you're also at fault if you're the one who allows it to continue and allows it to get a little bit stronger. It's something interesting that here we have the story of Korach va'adaso, and in context of a story that the Torah tells us, it says lo yiyah kekorach va'adaso, and from there, the pasuk not only means to tell us a story that you shouldn't be like Korach, but the pasuk also means to tell us a halacha, like the Gemara says, that we learn out of Lav. So there's an interesting pasuk in Parshas Pinchas. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Yifkod Hashem Elokei Aruchos L'chol Basar Isha La'eda. I want that Hashem should appoint somebody who's going to be in charge of the Jewish people after I move on. I'm not going to be here any longer. Somebody else has to take over. Asher Yetzi Lefneim, Asher Yavu Lefneim, Asher Yotzium. Someone is going to guide them. Someone is going to help them. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks, don't allow the Jewish people just to be straggling along without a leader. You have to have someone who's going to lead them and guide them as they go in their journey toward Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, Tzarech lahamid b'chol kahal u'kahal me'Yisrael. Every community has an obligation to make sure that they appoint a chacham gadol v'zakein yari shamayim in u'rav, Ohuv lahem, somebody who is beloved to them, sheyehei mochiach l'rabim u'machziram b'tshuva. Every community has this obligation. And understanding what exactly this Rambam means, one of the Talmidei HaBeis Yosef, the Maritatz, Maritza Halon, writes the following, which is very similar to what we find over here, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud. Karav be'enai lomar, says the Maritatz, it would seem to me, Shekol Edo kahal mi'Yisrael. If you have a community who can't figure out how to get themselves a rabbi, happens sometimes. This one, this part of the community says we need somebody who's modern. This part of the community says, no, we need someone who's yeshivish. And the other part says, we don't need a rabbi at all. What do we need the rabbi for? So everybody's fighting. They can't get themselves a rabbi. Says the Maritatz, Harehu ke'over belav. Not only are you like a community that just simply doesn't have a rabbi. That's not such a big problem. But says the Maritatz, based on this Rambam, you are actually violating a law in the Torah. What is that law in the Torah? Where is the Torah ever saying the Tariag Mitzvahs, go and appoint a rabbi? What am I violating if I don't have a rabbi in my shul? Says the Maritatz, based on this Rambam, because the Rambam reads the Pasuk literally, V'lotiyah adas Hashem, kitzon asher ein lahem roeh. That is not only Moshe Rabbeinu pleading with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should give the Jewish people somebody who's going to lead them, but that is also a command to all of us for future generations that we have an obligation to set aside for us a rabbi who's going to guide the community and lead them in the right path. How do we know such a thing? How do you know to make such a drasha? How do you know that the pasuk is to be taken very literally and to be meant as a mitzvah? He brings a proof. Tzeilumad, mashadimu chazal bikra, v'lo yiyah kekorach va'adaso. He brings the proof from our parsha. In our parsha we're told, don't be like Korach va'adaso. That's just in the context of the whole story. And yet, we find that this is taken very literally, and the Gemara says from here we learn, if you go ahead and are machzik b'machlokes, you violate a lav. So too over here, says the Maritatz, if you choose not to hire a rabbi, you choose not to have somebody lead you, you are also in violation of a lav. That's something that I think is very surprising. Gam anu nomar. So too we should say the same, says the Maritatz, kol kahal ve'edam Yisrael, any community. Shein sochrin ha'mevi'in aleim chacham v'navon shi'iyah chacham gadol b'chachma v'yiras ched. Havaluhu ka'ovrim belav. It's as if they are violating the law that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about of velotiyah katzon asher ein lahem roeh. That's a very surprising statement, but it's all learned. It's all derived from the pasuk in our parsha as well. What about when you have somebody who's only being machzik b'machlokas l'shem shamayim? Now, of course, we're all always convinced that the machloksim that we pick are always only l'shem shamayim. We're such heilig yidden that everything we do is always l'shem shamayim. But what happens when you have two real people who are fighting for real l'shem shamayim? So over there, the Shari Tshuva Rabbeinu Yonah writes very clearly that when it's a machlokas l'shem shamayim, you have to go as far as it takes, as far as a person can get involved, as much as you can stop the chil l'shem from being perpetrated. You have to do whatever you can to stop it, even if it means that there's going to be a machlokas. And he brings rayas from the psukim. Mila Hashem Elai. What do you mean? You say Mila Hashem Elai? Don't you know a big war is going to break out? Who's going to ready to stand up for God? What do you mean who's going to be ready? It means some people are going to, some people aren't, and now you're going to have a big war in the Jewish people. Yet it doesn't matter. There's a need for a civil war once in a while when you have situations like Mila Hashem Elai. And says the Shari Tshuva, in a case like that, obviously, all of the discussion of Machlokas does not apply at all. We find by Pinchas also, Vayar Pinchas, Vayikach Romach Biyado, says Rabbeinu Yonah. What do you mean? He's causing a big disaster to take place. But yet Pinchas sees there's a Chilul Hashem, and he says this is a place, even the Machlokas is something to stay away from. It's something that we have to be willing to get involved in, even if it's at a personal cost, even if it's going to embarrass us, we have to be willing to get involved in order to save the world from a terrible Chilul Hashem that might come out. The Bir Halacha writes the very same comment. In Simen Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, the Bir Halacha writes the same. Imhu omeid b'makam sheyesh apikursim. If you live in a generation, if you live in a society where there are people who are apikursim hamiskomim memala Torah, they're trying to gang up against the Torah, the Orthodox tradition as we know it. Virotzim lasos ezet takanos binyana ha'ir, and they want to change things up. So we're not going to have separate seating anymore in the shul, and we're not going to have this, and we're not all kinds of institutions that people want to make to reform the tradition as we know it. Says the Mishnah Berurah in the Bir Halacha in Simen Aleph in Shulchan Aruch, that in a case like that, you first have to be poseach b'shalom. You obviously have to be noble in your conversations with them. You don't start a fight right away. V'lo nishmu devara, but if you see that you're not being listened to, b'kegon ze lo dibra habes Yosef me'uma u'mitzvah lisnosam u'hiskote imahem. As we know, the Chasam Sofer was one of the greatest fighters, one of the fiercest fighters against the reform movement at his generation. What do you mean? How is he allowed to fight with them? The answer is, the Bir Halacha says, when you have a situation where they're trying to change, where they're trying to destroy the Yiddishkeit, Orthodox Judaism as we know it, we have every right and every obligation to go ahead and knock them down and be involved in a machlokas if that's what it takes and if that's what the time calls for. In fact, Rabbeinu Yonah even takes it a step further, which I wouldn't have said, but Rabbeinu Yonah says not only are you allowed to be on the offensive, not only are you allowed to go ahead and fight with them, but Rabbeinu Yonah says, Mutil Dabr Lashon Hara Aleihem. Rabbeinu Yonah says, Lashon Hara, you ever read the Shmiras HaLashon? How many Averis are there involved in Lashon Hara? And yet Rabbeinu Yonah writes, when it comes to the din of somebody who's marbim b'machlokis, you're allowed to go ahead and start a fight with them. I'm sorry, if they're trying to destroy whatever it is, the tradition as you know it, you're allowed to not only start a machlokas with them, but you're also allowed to be misaper lashon hara al bale machlokas, which is very, very surprising. Now, the later achronim say that Rabbeinu Yonah is not just to be taken literally. It doesn't just mean you're allowed to go speak lashon hara and say, oh, I saw this person eating treif in a treif restaurant. You're only allowed to talk about things that are going to help work out the issue. You're not just allowed to say every secret you ever knew about the person. You're only allowed to talk about certain things that you know will help the issue die down or will help the issue somehow be resolved. And other Rishonim take it further as well and say, not only are you allowed to talk about a Baal Machlokas, but you're even Ein Roi L'Chabdo Klal. There's no reason to be Mechabed them. How do we know such a thing? Because we have a fascinating Gemara in Gittin Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, and then we'll go straight into Mincha. I think we haven't been on time yet, so we'll be on time today. So the Gemara says in Gittin Daf Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, a very strange story. Geniva was the name of a great Talmud Chacham. I think Rashi writes on that Gemara, Geniva, Rashi says, Shem Chacham. So his name is not Geneva. Don't think his name is Geneva, that he was a stealer, he was a robber. His name is Geniva with an olive, that he was a Chacham, he was a great Talmud Chacham. Geniva haya Chacham Gadol, and he passed in front of Rav Huna and Rav Chista. So the Gemara tells us, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, when a Gedolei Amaram, they were sitting together, learning Bechavrusa, all of a sudden, pick up their eyes, and they see Geniva is walking by. So one says to his friend, Rav Huna and Rav Chista, one says to the other, we should really stand up. We know there's halacha of being mechabed Talmud Chacham. Geniva is obviously somebody who was a very well-recognized personality in that generation. So we should really stand up out of respect to Geniva, to this Talmud Chacham. The Gemara says, the other one responded to him, Amrle idach, mekame palga nekum. We're going to stand up in front of somebody who's involved and broiled in a machlokas. How can we stand up for him? Why should we stand up for him? Yeah, he might be the greatest Talmud Chacham in the world. He might be the greatest tzaddik, but why should we stand up? He doesn't deserve our respect. So you have a Gemara Mufureshes. The Gemara says in Gittin, and this is what the Acharonim point out, you have a Gemara Mufureshes that tells us if you have somebody who's so embroiled in Machlokas, somebody who's so involved in things that we don't believe in, and so involved in making communal discord, this is something that not only are we allowed to be Mesaper Lashon Hara on such a person, like Rabbeinu Yonah writes, but we even do not deserve to give any ounce of respect to such an individual either. And I sometimes wonder, you know, we have, unfortunately, in our times, we have all kinds of, I don't know, Hasidish Rebbes who are always fighting about the Yerushas and fighting and court cases and Chilul Hashem and everything, and yet we run to go to them to get brachas. The Meiri writes on that Gemara in Gittin. The Meiri says, if you go ahead and you are Mechabed them, the Meiri and other Rishonim write, you're violating the Halach of Lo Yiyah Kekarach Va'adaso. So if you know that there's a big Chilul Hashem going on, and you know there are Rebbes that are fighting and killing each other and such a machlokas and horrible things, maybe you're in violation of the din, lo yiyah kekarach va'adaso. You go to them for a bracha, you violate the halacha by going to a tish. Why are you allowed to attend it? Why are you allowed to be machzik to people who are over in b'machlokas? Now, obviously, we're not meant to point out any single community over any other, but still, it's something to think about, something to consider. We shouldn't always get involved, we shouldn't always run to be involved in things that are embroiled in machlokas, because it's something that is not so simple. And as we started, the Bir Halacha and others write that it's something to be careful about, particularly on Shabbos, especially when we have so much time off. We should be careful on Shabbos. Lo sevaru esh b'chomash v'seichem yom haShabbos. Make sure that we have an atmosphere on Shabbos, which is one that is going to be peaceful and harmonious and have shalom in all of our homes.